This evening's scripture reading is coming from Romans chapter 9, verse 14 through 16. The title of the sermon is, What Will We Say Then? Romans 9:14. You have your Bibles. I'll be reading from the New International Version. 9:14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and followers of his word.
Verse number 7, the Bible reads, When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Amen. Good evening. We've had a nice day, hopefully. God has blessed us to be able to return that we might worship him in spirit and truth for all day long. The song says of Jesus, I am singing. And he proposes us to do that on the Lord's Day, to sing of him all day long. Praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, sometimes we get ourselves in a situation where we just don't know what to say. And sometimes we find ourselves not knowing what to say because we haven't read up on what to say. So there's no words to say. God's word tells us in Romans chapter 9, starting in verses 14, it says, What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. One of you will say to me, Then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, Why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some potter for special purposes and some for common use? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, and be prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. Now, I got to thinking about that, and what came to my mind is, what are we going to say? What have we been saying? And I concluded that if we were to hold a gospel meeting, or we were to hold a Bible study, or simply just a conversation with someone outside of the body concerning salvation, and we held it in a neutral place, and we had that meeting and we never mentioned the church because of the prejudice on the part of a large number of denominational people, what would we say? What would we say then? We're having a meeting with people and we just want to be able to talk about God, but because of the way that these people feel, what are we going to say? If members of a denomination are in the audience, shall we expect a preacher to just avoid preaching the identity and purpose of the Lord's church because the denominational world teaches that one church is as good as another? What are we going to say? Shall we expect a preacher to not identify the Lord's church for fear of embarrassing our visitors? Shall we expect a preacher to avoid talking about the identity of the Lord's church because we're being accused of insulting denominations? Paul says in Romans chapter 9, two words, God forbid. He goes on to say, what shall we say then? We're going to say to those denominational people that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what we're going to say. We're going to say in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, to avoid all embarrassment or fear or insult, we're going to say that we need to take heed unto ourselves. And it's all a flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We're not going to back down because there are people in the audience, because their lives need to be saved, just like ours was saved as well. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, and we're going to say that he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And God put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church. We're going to talk about the church, no matter who is in the audience or how they feel about it. We're going to talk about the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So whether you're talking to the denominational person or anybody else, we have got to not leave out the church, because you can't separate the church and Jesus Christ. Paul found that out in Acts chapter 9, Lord, who art thou? He says, I'm the one that you're persecuting. I am the Christ. Can't separate it. What if a Jew was in the audience? Shall we avoid preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified? Because of the prejudice of the Jews, because they do not believe in the deity of the Christ. What shall we say then? Mark chapter 8, verse number 38, the Bible says, whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed as well. When he comes in his glory of his Father with his holy angels, he is going to be ashamed of you, because you would not speak about him in the presence of a Jew. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We've got to let the Jews know that we know who we have believed in. Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. And we're not ashamed of it, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes, them the Jews first, stamp out their prejudice, and also to the Greeks. What shall we say then? We're going to preach the word of God, and we're not going to back down. What if there's a Muslim in the audience? To avoid teaching the deity of Christ because of the prejudice of the Muslims? God forbid that as well. God forbid. What shall we say then? Acts 8:37, Philip and the eunuch, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the true and the living God. If we don't have anything else to say, what a statement to make. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Son of the true and the living God. What shall we say to a Muslim in the audience because of his prejudice against the deity of Christ? We're going to say 1 John 5, 1, whosoever believed that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loved him, that begat, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. Whosoever believed that Jesus is Christ, we become sons of God. We're going to speak about 1 John 4:2-3, and we're going to say, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, for every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus come is not of God. It's just not of God. What shall we say? What shall we say? Sometimes we're at a loss for words when it comes to teaching about God and about his laws and about salvation. We're at a loss for words. We've got to get ourselves together. and not be threatened or ashamed by anybody from any nationality, race, creed. Doesn't matter where you're from. We've got to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only do we have to know it, we've got to teach it, because we cannot be ashamed of that gospel of Jesus Christ. What shall we say then? What if an evolutionist or atheist walks in the audience? Shall we avoid teaching that God exists and that he's the creator of all things? Because of the prejudice of evolutionists and atheists? God forbid. Often say that an atheist doesn't have any platform to stand on at all anyway, because something has to exist for you not to believe in it. You can't believe in nothing. It has to be there for you to say, I'm not going to believe in it. It has to exist. So they make no sense at all with a disbelief in God. What shall we say then to the evolutionists and the atheists? We go all the way to the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In verse number 27 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. But I want you to look at something. If you're going to prove something to evolutionists and you're going to prove something to atheists, it's so crystal clear to me when you look at Genesis chapter 1. There's only two verses in there. It's the first verse and the 27th verse. The first verse says, in the beginning, God. And if you look at every other verse besides verse number 1 and verse number 27, you're going to see the continuation of God, because the Bible says, and God, and God, and God, and God. Throughout every other verse in that Bible in Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God. What are we going to say then? Even if they took out verse number 1 and it took out verse number 27, it still says there's a continuation of God from the beginning even until the very end of the chapter, and he still exists today. Look at it. It's incredible when you look at Scripture and you can actually see that God is who he said he is. In the beginning, God. And he created heaven and he created the earth. In the beginning, God created those things, and in verse number 27, the Bible says, and then he made man. And he made man in his own image and his own likeness. And he created a male and female. Verse number 2, and God. Verse number 3, and God. Verse number 4, and God. Verse number 5, and God. Verse number 6, and God. And so on till the end of the chapter, and God still exists today. Let the atheists know. Let the evolutionists know. What shall we say then? You don't have to worry about what you're going to say, he said to the disciples. Just open up your mouth and God will speak for you. You have to be afraid. If you're afraid to speak, then you're not going to say anything. But if you want to speak about God and his word, open your mouth. Open your mind. Open your heart. Look at it. For it is by faith. It's by faith we've been saved. By grace through faith. And God is going to give us what to say if we have the wherewithal to say it. And God, what a wonderful discourse that is in the book of Genesis. When you look at it, just the beginning of each verse is enough for me to know that God disproves all of those things that man can ever come to think about. Boy, that was wonderful. And God, look at it for yourself sometime. Look at it. What shall we say then? If there are immoral people in the audience, those people who we don't want to talk about because they're doing a lot of bad things, shall we avoid preaching repentance and remission of sins? They're prejudiced regarding certain moral issues. Everybody's got their own morals. They've got their own individuality. Do your own thing. I'm okay and you're okay. So we're going to avoid preaching repentance and remission of sins to people who are filled with adultery, fornication, homosexuality, polygamy, abortion, alcohol drinking, stealing, lying, backbiting. We're not going to, God forbid that. Forbid it. What shall we say then? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Who changed it into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever? Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had made it known unto them from the beginning. That for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. And we can't give anybody an excuse, because the Bible says that we, just like them, we men, we are without excuse. So what are we going to say then? Because that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God at all. Immoral people. They weren't even grateful to God. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into images made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So God gave them to their uncleanliness. He gave it to them through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. Women did change the natural use into that which is against their nature. Likewise, men did the same thing, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was not meet. And people would just dare you today to say the word gay, because it's a phobia now. What are you going to say then? We're going to talk to them about Romans chapter 1. That's what we're going to do, and we're not going to back down. They have their platform. We don't have a platform. We serve God. We serve God. So what are you going to say? Are you going to be ashamed of God in that arena? Nah, you're not going to be ashamed. We're going to speak about the glory of an uncorruptible God. God that we serve. And we're not going to take the truth and change it into a lie just to suit someone who says that, hey, the world is changing. You got to change with the world. Well, that might be true, but God's word will never change, and we're not going to change it either. Not going to change it. We have got to declare the whole counsel of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 says, the whole counsel. We've got to preach the word, 2 Timothy 4, 2, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort and do it with all long suffering and patience. Some people just don't know what to say. Christians been sitting in God's kingdom for years on end, refuse to open up their mouths because they just don't know what to say. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10, if we seek to please men, we will not be the servants of Christ. What are you going to say then? What have you been saying? Have you been saying anything at all? Have you been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not only preaching it, have you been living it? Sometimes you don't have to say anything, because people can look at the way you live your life and know that you are a servant of God. What are you going to say then? What are you going to say? We've got to speak the truth in love and teach all things commanded by God for man to do, Ephesians 4:15. All things commanded by God for man to do, we've got to teach those things. Let me ask you this question. When it's all on the table, and it's your time to speak up for God, the question comes to my mind, what will you say then? What are you going to say? What are you going to teach? Ephesians 4 says that there is unity in all that God has ever done. One Lord, one God, one body, one spirit, one faith, one baptism. There's unity in all of that. Can we just not speak of the one, the unity of God and the Godhead? What are you going to say when someone walks up to you and they says, you know what, I can't talk to you about that because I'm a Catholic. What are you going to say then? It's high time we get ourselves in gear and learn about the Catholic doctrine, or the Presbyterian doctrine, or the Baptist doctrine, so we can be able to talk to those people. Paul says, I've become all things to all men that I might win. How many? All we need is one. We just need one. Win one. Open up your mouth and say it so you can win one. understand the background of where these things come from so we can teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ right where they are. We've got to meet people where they are, and we've got to speak about Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. Can't be ashamed of it. Can't be ashamed of it here. We can't be ashamed of it when we leave home. We can't be ashamed of it at our homes. We've got to be able to live it. But you got to learn it and able to say it. Sometimes we're just at a loss for words. But the Bible is filled with words, and the wonderful words of God is all that we have to dive into to get what we need and to give it to a dying world that's before us. Somebody called me and says, Brother Collins, you know, I want to have a Bible study with my family, but you know, I've been trying to talk to them for years, and I just don't know what to say. Well, that's kind of ironic to me. If you've been trying to talk to them for years and you never knew what to say, then did you say anything? If you didn't know what to say, did you say, what did you say if you didn't? What did you say? You've got to know what to say and when to say it, and it has to be the truth and love. All of us have family members that we can talk to about God. They know our lives. They know how we live. They know about these Church of Christ people. And believe it or not, a lot of them already know the truth of the gospel, but they will not move. You got to keep on talking to them, because it's only in God's time will they respond. And some may never respond, but you don't want to be the one that never mentioned God to them. So what are you going to say? Why gamble with your own soul? Paul says, listen, Timothy. He says, I want you to watch your life and your doctrine closely. He says, because if you're perseverant, you're going to save yourselves and the ones that hear you. Hear what? Hear the gospel that I've been blessed to teach. They're going to hear you. They might not obey, but they're going to hear you. Let God do that. It's all about God, not about you. You're just a vessel. Allow him to be that vessel. Allow God to use you as that vessel in your life to reach out to the lost and dying of this world. Stop worrying about whether they're Jew. Stop worrying about whether they're atheist or evolutionist. Stop debating about that stuff. God's word, the truth, is not debatable at all. So let's just preach the truth. And let them worry about what they are or where they're going to spend eternity. It's a sad commentary. My brother tells me all the time, I'm a Baptist and I'm going to die one. And every time he says that to me, I say the same thing to him. That very well might be true. Might be true. I can't say that it's going to be true or not. It might be true because at some point in time, with the patience of God, he might allow his stony heart to be broken and contrite to come to God. And what a glorious day that'll be for me and for him and for the angels in heaven. So it might very well be, but we can go out and we can teach people, we can talk to them, and we can tell them that it's only God and the salvation that comes and the Son Jesus Christ that's going to save our lives. What are you going to say? What are you going to say then? Don't just say something. Teach the gospel. Live the gospel. Be an example to those that are out there that are dying in this lost, lost world. That Jesus Christ has come and he will save us if we will let him. So open up your mouth so people can open up their hearts and have what we used to call back in Gramercy a come to Jesus meeting. Oh, we need more of those, don't we? We need a whole lot more of those. Sometimes I'm just a little disappointed sometimes at some gospel meetings, because most of the time you find people come to gospel meetings just to hear the preacher. They don't bring nobody to hear the gospel. That's a big difference from coming to hear the preacher and hearing the gospel. Got to separate that out. A gospel meeting is for saving souls, not for peacocking around the pulpit. And well, that's another sermon. What are we going to say, church? People are dying. God forbid that we should sit silent. If we can help you tonight to speak on God's word, you need to know that God calls us to hear him, to believe him, to confess Christ, to repent of our sins, be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And he calls us to do that as we stand and sing God's invitation song.